Join us for the Sharks NHL Draft Party on June 28th at 3 p.m. Witness the Sharks select number one overall for the first time in franchise history and celebrate the team's future with fellow Sharks fans. Don't miss out on experiencing this historic event with an electrifying atmosphere at SAP Center by securing your tickets today at sjsharks.com/thefutureisteal. That's sjsharks.com/thefutureisteal.
Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
It's 2-0. The Stanley Cup playoffs are underway. The final round, the Sharks' great opponents, the Edmonton Oilers, against the Eastern Conference's Florida Panthers. And it is the Florida Panthers 2 and the Edmonton Oilers 0 after 2 games played. A couple of oddities in the series, Drew, but all in all, your general thoughts on the fact that Florida has a 2-0 lead?
Boy, they know how to play playoff hockey, don't they, Danny? They do an outstanding job. They've got everybody on the same page because they all work the same. They forecheck hard. They finish checks. I like how they reload so quickly and get back to the neutral zone above the puck. They've done a terrific job so far in the first 2 games on the penalty killing, which is a tough, of course, as we know, against the Edmonton Oilers' very talented power play. They've got great goaltending. And Danny, I got to give you credit. For years, you've been talking about Bobrovsky a lot and how good he is. And a guy like me, I was going, I don't know, Danny. I think his best years are behind him. And he played on a bad team for a while, so he looked better than he really was. But my goodness me, you were right about that guy, the way he's playing. He's been so good, allowed 1 goal in 2 games. You know, in this season series, and the season series doesn't really matter much, but 5 games this year, the calendar year, the Edmonton Oilers have only scored 5 goals against him. That's pretty impressive.
So, pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is when you think about it. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, 0 in the first two games. Amazing. Florida has played very well, but the games have been close, really. Yes, last night's game, even though it was 4-1, last night's game was close. Until the end, where they got the third one and then the empty netter. But it's the first 2 games have been decidedly one. Game one was Bobrovsky because Edmonton was all over them, and game two was all Florida. So it's like we talked about. It's been a really good series so far. It's been fun to watch.
And yet, as we review game number 2, the Edmontonians had the 1-0 lead.
McDavid hits Ekholm, and all of a sudden, maybe a 3-on-1. Ekholm in over the line with Draisaitl. Ekholm shoots, scores through Bobrovsky, and trickles home. And Edmonton on its first shot of the game.
First shot of the game for Matthias Ekholm. Good to see that he gets some reward. I just think he's been a great player for this team for the last 2 years. Good to see that happened for him. And the key to that goal to me was that the defenseman Ekblad kind of pinched in and got overcommitted, and then he couldn't catch up, and they didn't read that right. It's one of the few times that Florida made a mistake without the puck.
Ekblad last night, and then he scores the empty netter. But I'm Paul Maurice is a man of way more patience than me, but you're absolutely right. And for Bobrovsky, he does what he did in game one, stopping everything. And then he lets that 5-hole goal go in. You know how mad he was at himself for that. But then after that, it was nothing.
No, but that gets back to Bobrovsky and why he is so good at the age that he's at, which is even more incredible. He's 35, but he's playing like he's 25. And if you know anything about him, and you and I have seen him a lot of times, Drew, whenever we've run into the Florida Panthers or the Columbus Blue Jackets, he goes out on the ice, and it's almost like he's a figure skater. He goes out there, and he starts doing all these little edge work things. Yeah. He starts getting his mind focused on the task at hand. It reminds me, in some ways, of Evgeny Nabokov on a game day. His mind would just become as tight as a pin. That's how much space he was focusing on, just thinking about the game, dealing with all the details. That's what Bobrovsky does, and nobody really works any harder than he does. Anthony Stolarz, who's the backup goaltender, talked about that, and he said, "I thought that I knew what it was like to work hard, but not now. Now I know better."
Yeah, you see a pro. You see a pro. And it was Ekblad was talking about the fact that, or maybe it was Barkov talking about the fact that he's having fun doing it. But he said he's the hardest working guy, like Stolar said, hardest working guy. Practice, non-practice days, in the gym, wherever, but he's always got a smile on his face when he's doing it. And maybe that's the key, right? You're finding real joy in the effort.
Well, that's what they got, joy after that, because it would be Nico Mikola, of all players, that would tie the game at one.
And to our left now, Nico Mikola tried to pass across that. They misjudged that a bit. Sergei Bobrovsky had to alertly chop that one away from the front of the goal. Now in go the Panthers. Lundell, left side, drop pass, shot, and they scored! It's Nico Mikola! He let it rip, and this game is tied! Nico Mikola, drive out of the high slot!
Transported up to the Enterprise and back down to a spot where he was open, but Mikola makes the mistake in the defensive zone. Bobrovsky helps him out. Then he jumps up into the play, but I have to tell you, one of the best players on the ice all playoffs for Florida has been Lundell, and he got him the puck, and that was a big part of it because he drew the attention of all of the members of the Edmonton Oilers, and that left a space for Mikola to fill.
Have you ever seen that before? Guy backhands it towards his own net, almost scores.
Where did we see that, Drew? Maybe you can refresh our memory.
Except in ours, the guy actually did score. And then the next game, he scored again.
Why don't you refresh that memory again for everybody?
Well, I'm thinking Danny Boyle.
Right.
I think Danny Boyle
Colorado.
Against Colorado. He backhands one towards the net. It goes in, and then it was an accident. And the Colorado wins the game in overtime, opens up the game the next game, scores the first goal, and was the best player on the ice in that game. But it reminded me of that, just not in this, that quickly. But then you're right, Lundell's been great. Again, it's, you know, this, who watches the Florida Panthers that much, right? Not a lot of people
right.
watch the Florida Panthers. And they should, because they've got this depth on this team. They got Lundell, they got Rodriguez, they got Montour, they've got the great Stephen Lawrence. They've got so much terrific depth and personality out through the lineup, but they all play the same way. But Lundell's been great, and Mikola, good shot, jumped into it, bang, right off. As soon as it got to him, he fired it.
And that's when Florida really took things over. And Evan Rodriguez, another country heard from, gave them the lead with his first of two.
Caposo, a shoulder into Evander Kane on the far side of the ice. Out to the line. Puck played down low. Ekblad. Now it's Caposo on the right side. Around the end boards, Evan Rodriguez here in the near circle. Looked to play it on net. Couldn't get it through. Another try. A shot. He scores. Evan Rodriguez let it rip. And he beats Skinner short side. The Panthers have their first lead of the night. It's 2-1. What a laser of a wrist shot that was.
Boy, that was an amazing shot. Quick release for Evan Rodriguez, who, by the way, played at Boston University under Coach David Quinn and was part of his wedding party, as I recall. That is, David Quinn was part of Evan's wedding party. And I tell you what, this guy, you know, started his career with Buffalo, moved on. Now he's here in Florida, came to the team for a reason, said that he wanted a chance to win a Stanley Cup. And boy, he came through in fine fashion there.
What a shot. Bouchard makes the mistake. He tries to clear the puck, and he puts it right on Rodriguez's stick and snipes it top corner. Beautiful, beautiful shot. And he got the winning goal in game one, and he gets that big goal there.
Yep, that was the go-ahead goal that would put them in front for good at 3:11 of the third period. And then at 12:26 of the third period, there was Anton Lundell again setting up Rodriguez in a play that was reminiscent in some ways of Burns and Pavelski.
Ekman Larson straight on Rodriguez to Lundell. Anton Lundell near side. Lets it rip, tipped, and they score! Evan Rodriguez got a stick on it, and the Panthers make him pay! It's 3-1! 7:34 to go in the third! Evan Rodriguez has two!
What a sweet tip that was, and what a job by Lundell to draw again players to him to give the space for Rodriguez to get open.
The penalty kill for the Oilers has been really, really good. It's been the best in the playoffs, and they're very, very aggressive, especially on entries. But three guys go to Lundell, as you just talked about, as he draws those guys in. And Rodriguez reads, and he drives to the net. I think it's Janmark trying to come back and get him, and he's on the wrong side. Rodriguez has inside position, but you mentioned Pavelski, and it's funny you said that because I watched that tip last night, on the replay and how he opens his, like he puts the stick down, he opens the blade, he's already presented the target, which Joe Pavelski's so good at, and then he opens the blade just as the puck gets to him and he ramps it up. Beautiful goal, beautiful tip. And as you said, Lindell was the guy that drew the players to him and created that space. Rodriguez, smart enough to skate into it.
Could that be why we didn't see a lot of Pavelski tips during the playoffs this season? Because his teammates weren't necessarily drawing people to him to create that little seam?
Yeah, I think so. I don't like Joe. One of the things that we saw that Joe, the game picked up in speed, and Joe doesn't have it anymore as far as speed goes, because Father Time comes for us all. But he did have some chances. Game six was his best game by far against the Oilers. But they don't create the forecheck of the Dallas Stars didn't create that much. They didn't create a lot off the rush. When they did try to create off the rush, they got quashed. They got shut down like in game five against the Oilers. And they weren't able to get that space available. So, yeah, I think that was one of them. And also the penalty kill for the Oilers took away any really opportunities for Dallas to get pucks to the net. They didn't have a lot of times to set up. They didn't get a lot of time, period, on the power play. Special teams is what really won them that series for the Oilers. And that's where Joe really makes his living.
5-on-5, the Edmonton Oilers are a team that holds on to possession of the puck, and that's one of the reasons why they're a good defensive team, because the other team doesn't often have it. But what's working for the penalty killing in the postseason for Chris Knobloch's team here?
Well, number one, they're very aggressive on entries, like we talked about. They're a quick team. They pressure right away. As soon as you're coming across the blue line or the red line, they don't give you that space. They contest the neutral zone, and they pressure. And then everything in the zone, they've done a much better job. And Mark Stewart apparently is the guy, the assistant coach who's in charge of the penalty kill. They are pressuring right away. They don't let you have time and space. They are pressuring up on the point because they can do that. As puck comes out to the defenseman, bang, they're going. And it's not one, it's not two, it's all four. One goes, they all go. And that's good penalty killing. And they've done a very good job of creating a lane for Stuart Skinner to see the puck. They've done a very good job there, and they collapse in front and they block a lot of shots. All the little details that they're doing is why they're so good on the penalty kill.
By the way, that power play goal by Rodriguez was a first for the Panthers, obviously, ending that big long streak that the Oilers had on the PK. What was it, 34, something like
34.
That?
34. Yeah, 34. And it was, I think, 11 straight games without allowing a power play goal, which is one or two below the record with the Montreal Canadiens in 2021.
We'll get to some of the penalties in this game in a second, but that was a very big, big goal to make it 3-1 in favor of the Panthers. But Edmonton wasn't finished yet. Yet Sergei Bobrovsky, who is not being caught by Father Time just yet, made a pretty important save when it was 3-1.
McDavid tries to break free, scoots in, low shots, hey, Bobrovsky! And the puck to the end boards now, and we've got a whistle. The net knocked off the moorings. Tkachuk has a hold of Connor McDavid on the end wall. McDavid gave him a shot. Tkachuk wants to get right back at him, and our linesmen don't want to let that happen as order is yet to be restored here. 5:53 left in the third, 3-1, Panthers over Edmonton. And I tell you what, Billy, when somebody goes after Barkov, there's nobody off limits at this point.
Everyone.
And that is indeed what happened. Leon Draisaitl coming up high, to say the least, against the best player on the Panthers, Alexander Barkov, Selke Trophy winner, best defensive player, but one of the better offensive players, too, in the entire NHL. Your thoughts on that that hit and the fact that there was no major penalty on it?
Well, at the very least, it should have been a double minor, because it's a charge because he jumps into the hit. His feet come off the ice. He leaps into the hit. The primary point of contact and his target is the head, and that's where the elbow comes out. So that's two penalties there. One for the charge on the jump, and it's rule 42-1, I think it is, with the jump on the charge, and the elbow was plain as day. It's an elbow to the jaw. So minimum, it should have been 4 minutes. They should have called five and then reviewed it.
That's what I thought they should have done.
Yeah.
Why didn't they?
I don't think any of them saw it. I don't think they saw it. And they had a conference about it, said, well, we got to give him something because Barkov's down. Now,
Well, in that situation, why not just call a major penalty, even if nothing happened? And then you go look at it and say, well, nothing happened, no penalty.
Exactly. That's why they have that rule in. Exactly.
The Joe Pavelski rule.
Exactly. That's why it's the 5 minute now, and let's have a look at it. And that's what they should have done. Now, people in Canada, and as I told you, Danny, I'm thinking of becoming a U.S. citizen.
We'd welcome you, Drew. We'd welcome
thank
you.
Thank you, buddy. Well,
we've already welcomed Randy, so we can welcome
exactly.
You too.
Exactly. Thank you, Val. So everybody hears, it's just a high hit. Blah, 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 blah. All you have to do is say, well, wait a second. What if the situation was reversed? Because Barkov is Florida's best player. He has been the best player for them in the playoffs besides Bobrovsky. He is one of the most elite players in the National Hockey League. But we don't talk about him a lot because he plays in South Florida. If it was reversed, where Barkov did it to Drysdale or did it to McDavid, my goodness me, Danny, the torches would be out. It would be that Barkov should be gone. He should be suspended forever. It's wrong to, you got to protect the star players, blah, 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 blah. The skate's on the other foot here.
And so you're saying in the off 2 days here, the Edmonton fans would fly to New York and have a protest in front of NHL offices? Is that what happened?
Yes. Yes. There would be signs. There would be order signs. There might be that girl that was flashing everybody in the game 6 against Dallas. It would be all of those people. They would be so excited to bring their wrath, because as we know, Gary Bettman hates Canada and wants the U.S. to win the cup every time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Brother.
Okay, thank you for letting me get that off my chest.
So false. By the way, that young woman who did have that wardrobe malfunction in the Edmonton game apparently revealed herself to the world. I don't know why she would do that. And her phrase was, I don't know what happened.
Yeah. I think Spit and Chicklets. I think Ryan Whitney had her on. I believe
you're correct.
Yeah. So that's great investigative journalism by the boys at Spit and Chicklets.
Yeah, that's typical. But in the meantime, the Edmonton Oilers were down by the score of 3-1. They were trying to come back, but net empty. A couple of other things happened. Oh, but before we get to the final goal, Drew, the fact that Warren Fogle got thrown out.
Yes.
And the fact that Darnell Nurse really didn't play for most of the second half of the game, he had contact somewhat coincidentally with Evan Rodriguez. So yeah. Rodriguez has the contact to take one of the defensemen out. Then he scores two goals to help that team get the victory and go up 2-0 in the series against Edmonton. But what about the fact that Edmonton had to deal with playing down two men for really most of the game? I know Nurse came back for a shift or two in the third, but really didn't have it.
Well, let's remember what we talked about when it was game the New York Rangers versus the Florida Panthers. And by the end of that series, how absolutely spent everybody defensively was for the New York Rangers, because they just kept having to pay the price every time they touched the puck. It looked to me like it might have been a hit pointer for Darnell Nurse as he got drilled by Rodriguez finishing a check. The Warren Fogle check was definitely 5 minutes. It was 100% 5 minutes kneeing. It was a good call, and it didn't take him very long to review that. And it did put them in some problems. I think Bouchard ended up playing too many minutes, and that's what caused him to be -3 for the evening, or -2. And then I think Kane was -3 in last night. So when you look at it, it does. But this is what playoff hockey is, right? This is what Florida does. They wear you down. They wear you out. They empty your gas tank because they're so physical, most physical team in the league.
By the way, talk about good calls. Good to see Lostarinen, by the way, come back after that. That was happy to see that. But what about the other play where it looked to me like it was going to be a a delay of game over glass penalty. And it looked to me that the puck was released behind the blue line, but by the time it left its stick, it was kind of on the line. And they called it no penalty. Obviously, you can't review that. They had to talk about it. And then you go over to the Florida bench with the TV cameras, and Paul Maurice is going, that was a good call.
That was a good call. Isn't that great from Paul?
Loved it.
Yeah, it was where the puck left the blade of the stick, apparently. Didn't know that. Dave Jackson, who's on the ESPN broadcast as the expert official, he came in and said, yep, he thinks it was the good call. You know my opinion on that penalty, Danny.
I think worst in the league.
If you're going to give the referees the authority to judge everything else going on around you. Why can't they judge that? Why does that have to be an automatic? But it doesn't matter because Oliver Ekman-Larsson decided to make the game interesting in the third and fired over the glass anyway.
What a crazy moment that was.
Gosh.
So that's another penalty that you don't love. But then again, it's in the rule book, so you got to deal with it. And it all came down to Aaron Ekblad at the end.
Dumped in by Dreisaitl down to our right. Around it goes. Evander Kane. He's running too hard by Sam Bennett over on that far side. The puck snapped all the way down, and they score! Aaron Ekblad from a long distance on the empty net. The Panthers take a 4-1 lead with 2:28 remaining.
You know, I think about this a lot when I see the plays like this. When the Sharks made the Stanley Cup final, the first thing that the media relations department wisely did with San Jose was to put both Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau in front of the media and to at least to celebrate the fact that they were there as elite players in the league. Aaron Ekblad has been to the final. He was there last year, but he's a guy that suffered through a lot for the Florida Panthers. And it's just nice to see that he, as one of the better defensemen in the NHL, and in my opinion, he may get the Norris Trophy before his career is over. He's a guy that deserved that moment.
He, I was going through his injuries a couple of days ago, Danny. I don't know why, just because things you do, right? And I'm reading about all the injuries and what he went through just last year to play. He broke his foot last year in first series, if I remember correctly. And he is a guy that, as you said, has gone through a lot injury-wise, has been through a lot professionally with that Florida Panthers team, their top draft choice when they did draft him. He was always a stellar defenseman. I think injuries have slowed him down, but he's a big part of that club. And I like the play by Sam Bennett on that. And I really like Sam Bennett. But he doesn't try to stick check Kane. He goes through the man. And that's what Florida does. They go through people. And that created the loose puck. Good follow-up by Ekblad. And we know the analytics nowadays say shoot for the net, empty net all the time. And he got that one.
And it was pretty exciting in South Florida when the game ended, too.
Broberg over the Panthers line. Kulikov got a piece of him, knocked the puck loose. Kyle Okposo back in his own end. He sees there's just 11 seconds remaining. He's going to hold this one back behind the net. The fans to their feet. The Rats rain down. The Panthers win game two by a 4-1 score. The Panthers take both on home ice. And the Panthers lead the Stanley Cup Final 2-0.
What a finish. Florida leads 2-0. And now the series shifts to Edmonton.
We continue now with the Stanley Cup Playoff Report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
One of the things that we noticed from games one and two, and really for the entire playoffs, is that Florida has a way of just shutting down teams and closing the door and locking it. And Matthew Tkachuk, after game number two, talked about how they do that, and he said it wasn't anything special.
Oh, we just try to play the same game. It's not like we're trying to play a different game or try to shut it down or whatever. Just play really hard, play in your face, keep the gaps good, play simple, move your feet, get some hits. And, yeah, it's all about moving our feet out there, and I thought we did a really good job of that tonight.
If Mike Greer and the next San Jose Sharks head coach would like a recipe for the entire rebuild and where the Sharks want to go, I think they should just replay that cut and go with it.
Exactly, 100%. It's David Quinn used to say it all the time. He got it. His saying was, it's a very simple game played by a few, complicated by many. And that's a simple explanation of what they do. They move their feet. They have five guys doing it. They make sure defensively they're in the right position of the puck. They also make sure they finish checks. You're 100% right, Danny.
Meanwhile, what did Connor McDavid say about game two?
Yeah, they're a great team. They defend really well. They got a great goalie. Doing a lot of really good things. Obviously, you know, they're playing in the Stanley Cup Final. They're making it tough, for sure.
McDavid also talked about that breakaway that we replayed for you that he had. He was being defended. I guess you could call it a semi-breakaway, and what he was thinking during the play.
Just playing hockey. Trying to get to the net. I'm trying to protect the puck. He's trying to play the puck.
In other words, great players sometimes don't know how they do what they do. But in that particular case, McDavid had only a split second to make a decision. He gave it his best shot, but there was Bobrovsky to make the stop. And that and maybe some power play woes, which Edmonton is used to getting a lot of reward from, are things that are on Connor's mind for game 3 and 4.
We got to work our way out of it. It always starts with work with our group. They're a unique penalty kill, just like they're a unique team. They're aggressive. We got to have guys ready for the puck. We got to have guys making good plays. You got to string good plays together, and we've been able to do that.
And he put on a brave face when talking about having lost both Darnell Nurse and Warren Fogle and how that affected the lineup.
I thought it was fine. You know, I thought guys dug in. You know, they're a tough team. They make it tough. It's, it was tough in the locker room.
Did Florida have Edmonton rattled? Are they going to be rattled for game 3? Well, here's what Matthew Tkachuk thinks.
No, I don't think so. I just think that's, it's just sometimes the way it goes.
One thing that Tkachuk also wanted to talk about very briefly was that hit on Alexander Barkov. And he didn't have much to say about it, as you'll see.
I have no response or comment on that one.
And that's what every member of the Panthers said, and that's probably because they're potentially waiting for maybe something that the league might do, although you and I both think that nothing will happen.
Yeah, I think if the most he'll be Trubad and get a $5,000 fine, Leon Draisaitl. But I think it was telling post-game when Paul Maurice was asked about it, and he was so peeved. He was so stern and very quick to respond.
Chris Knobloch met with the media as we record this today, and he gave us an assessment of the first two games of the series and also where the Oilers need to be better.
I think, goal scoring, being able to put the puck in the net was one of the things. I think we generated enough opportunities in the first game, not enough in the second. Obviously, we'll look at special teams. That's such an important part of the game because each team is always making adjustments quite a bit throughout a series. So whether things are going well or poorly, special teams, that is something we spent a lot of emphasis on. And, all facets of our game, we want to look at how we can improve our breakouts, our forechecks, defensive zone coverage. I think we're never satisfied after a game, whether it's a win or a loss. We're always looking to get better.
Kind of interesting, too, that they had that Barkov line when they were together up against McDavid's line, doing a great job in that situation. But Paul Maurice changed the lines around in the third period a little bit, and he put Barkov with Tkachuk and also with Rodriguez, and then he moved Bennett with Verhaeghe and with Reinhardt. And yep, it's the confidence that Maurice has to just flip everything around that makes Florida such a dangerous team.
Well, they all play the same way, Danny. Like Tkachuk said, it's all five guys doing the same things. You just change it around a little bit, maybe look for a spark here, look for a spark there. But it's also the thing about Barkov going up against McDavid's line. That's why McDavid and sometimes Draisaitl have not been productive offensively on the score sheet, because Barkov is so good in that direction. But I love what Bennett brings energy to every line that he's on. He brings that edge that every Florida line needs.
And so what now for the Edmonton Oilers? Well, Connor McDavid was asked that very question, and he gave a very short answer.
Well, you win a game. You win a game on whatever it is, whatever day that is.
Whatever day it is, you have to try and win the game. But bottom line is that Edmonton has a lot of things to look forward to, and McDavid says he's pretty pumped up about going back home to Edmonton.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting. It's another opportunity for our group to come together and dig our way out. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be difficult. And I'm excited to see what our group's made of. I'm excited to see our group come together. I'm excited to see us fight through adversity, and looking forward to people doubting us again. We're good with their backs against the wall.
But the problem is who is going to doubt them again? Will it be the Edmonton fans in game number 3? And that's the question I have heading into those contests over at Rogers Place.
Well, we know what the Edmonton fans will be like. They'll be wild and crazy, and they'll want to be able to spark their team. Game three, obviously, you know, with the Florida Panthers being up 2-0, is going to be huge for the Edmonton fans. They want to try to get their team right back in the series. If you can get the split, if you don't get anything more than just both games, it's going to be a tough road to win the Stanley Cup.
And the big question, who will be in the lineup for both teams? Will Barkov be able to play? Will Darnell Nurse be able to get back? Or will that hip pointer, as it appears, keep him out of action? And will there be anything else from the NHL? All of that is something that you should stay tuned for, and we will have all of it for you right here on the Stanley Cup Playoff Report.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.